So turn back to Allah. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Refrain from disobedience.
لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها مقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our statements, in our actions, and in our deeds, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be from those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He wants to be worshipped. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be from those who follow His revelation and follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way of the Salaf, as this is the straight path. And it's from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides an individual to follow the way of the Salaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says that He has not created the jinn and the mankind except for ibadah. And this ibadah that they've been created for is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite of this is the disobedience in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Man ata'a Rasul faqad ata'a Allah. Whoever obeys the Messenger, then verily he's obeyed Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in His Quran that the highest or the worst type of disobedience is worshipping other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that He, in Allah, لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He does not forgive that partners be associated with Him, but He forgives other than that to whom He wills or wishes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping other than Him. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمِلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we bring forth the actions and the deeds that they have done, and we have made it like scattered dust. We have turned it into scattered dust. Why? Because they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and were associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in Hadith Ayyu Dhanbin A'zam, what is the greatest sin? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the Hadith that the greatest sin is that you make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's the one that created you. It's not befitting. And that's the greatest sin. And that is opposition to a tawheed, which is the call of the anbiya wa rusul. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that I've sent to every nation, every ummah, a messenger telling them to worship Allah, or calling them to worship Allah alone and to stay away from false deities. That is the highest level of disobedience. That is the highest sin, the worst sin, that one worships other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The highest sin after that, ikhwan, is innovating in this deen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, "Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena." Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Today I have perfected your religion and completed my favors upon you and have chosen Islam for you as a religion." So the individual that innovates in this deen is saying, whether he likes it or not, that this deen is not complete, that this deen is not perfect. And this is the next level in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, in a long hadith, "فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي." And whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. And in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ." That whoever introduces a newly invented matter into this affair that's not from it, then it is rejected. And another hadith in Sahih Muslim, "مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمِلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ." Whoever does an action that's not from our affair, then it is rejected. This is a great sin. This is a major sin. Innovating into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another major sin is hizbiyya, partisanship, having affiliations to other than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the Salaf. وَمَن يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, whoever opposes the messenger, whoever opposes the messenger and follows other than the way of the believers, yani hizbiyya, follows other than the way of the believers, i.e. the way of innovation, we leave him with that which he has chosen. And this hizbiyya is a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sin and it has ill effects. And it has ill effects. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in a hadith, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَى 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلَّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ. That this ummah was split into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire, bar one. مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Who are they, O Messenger of Allah? A hadith that you know so well. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are they? Yani the saved sect from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man kana ala ma ana alayhi al-yawma wa ashabi." Whoever is upon what I'm upon today and my companions, not hizbiyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani." Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Say, I call to Allah," not that I call to Hizbiya. "I call to Allah," not that I call to say Qutub. "I call to Allah upon insight," not upon ignorance. "Upon proofs and evidences, upon the Quran and Sunnah. I call to Allah, me and those with me." Yani those who are with me are Salafi. Those who are with me are calling to the same thing. Are calling to the Book of Allah and calling to the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The one who opposes this way is sinning. Is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the foremost sins that we, ya ikhwan, have to stay away from. And that is shirk, bid'ah, hizbiyyah. That is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innovating into this deen, bringing newly invented matters into this deen, and partisanship. Having love for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for individuals, and hating for other than the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for individuals, and affiliating to other than the way of the Salaf, affiliating to groups and parties, innovated parties, deviant groups, leading individuals away from the straight path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِ السُّبَلِ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي ذَلِكُمْ وَصَاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And this is my straight path, follow it. Straight path, one, singular. And do not follow the paths, multiple paths, plural. Huh? Multiple paths, plural, because it will lead you away from his path, the straight path. That I advise you with in order for you to attain taqwa, in order for you to attain piety. So by following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the Quran and Sunnah, and the way of the Salaf, you attain taqwa. And other than this, is disobedience and it's sins, and this has ill effects. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned some benefits as it relates to the ill effects of sins in general. To the ill effects of sins in general. I've mentioned what I've mentioned because those are the foremost sins that one should be aware of. And there are other sins, and that is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the actions that Allah, or statements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions approximately 40 or 50 different types or ill effects of sins. He mentions about 40 or 50 ill effects of sins and the uquba and the punishment and the effects of these sins on individuals and the mujtama' and the community and society. I've selected a few of those. I'm taking straight from the Kalam and the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. A few of them I've mentioned, I've left others, not because they're not important, but because of what? Time. But because of? Time. Ill effect number one. The first ill effects of sinning. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, before that, وَلِلْ مَعَاصِي مِنَ أَثَارِ قَبِيحَ أَمَذْمُومَ. There, and with sins, are ill and repugnant effects. There are ill and repugnant effects. And from the first one he says, فَمِنْهَا حُرْمَانَ الْعِلْمِ. فَمِنْهَا حُرْمَانَ الْعِلْمِ. And the first one of those is to be prevented of attaining knowledge. The ill effects of sins is that an individual has a hijab, has a veil between him and seeking knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised one or those who seek knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the people of knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Verily those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his slaves are the people of knowledge. So by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by having sins and sinning, it's a hijab. You are placing a veil in front of you and seeking knowledge in front of you and being from those that Allah has raised in station in front of you and those who have knowledge of Allah's deen, the true religion, al-Islam. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions example of this, where he talks, he said, وَلَمَّ جَلَسَ شَافِعُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَالِكِ. And when Shafi was sitting with Malik ibn Anas, his sheikh, when Shafi was sitting with Malik ibn Anas, and he was reading to Imam Shafi was reading to Imam Malik, and Imam Malik noticed that Imam Shafi had potential. He was intelligent. He was somebody who had potential to be of the people of ilm. So what did he advise him? He says, "Inni ara Allah qad alqa nuran fi qalbik, fala tutfihu bi dhulmatil ma'siyah." He said to Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik said, "Verily I have seen that Allah has put light in your heart, has put nur in your heart. Do not extinguish this light with the darkness of sins. Do not extinguish this light with the darkness of sins." And this goes in accordance to the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'udin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Laysa al-ilm bi kathrati riwayah walakinahu khashya." Verily, knowledge is not simply just talking, waffling, but rather it is the fear of Allah, the reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration he said, "Laysa al-ilm bi kathrati riwayah walakinahu nuru yakhdhafu fi qulubi an-nas." And knowledge is not just talking, but rather it is a light that Allah places in the hearts. And by sinning, ikhwan, by being persistent in sins, we are extinguishing this light. You study some books, you study Usul al-Thalatha, you try and memorize it, it's difficult. You try and memorize Quad Arba, it's difficult. You try and memorize the Quran before all of that, it's difficult. You're finding it difficult. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, when people used to come to him, when they have their masa'ib, and they have their afflictions, their problems, no matter what they came with, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh, the first thing he said to them was seek tawbah, istighfar, first thing, no matter what it is. Because, man wajada khayran, falyahmidillah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا إِيشَ إِخْوَانَ يَلُومَنَ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Whoever finds good, then praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, then don't blame anyone but yourself. From the ill effects of sinning is that knowledge has been made haram for you. It's been made haram for you to attain. يَنْفْرَ إِلَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He raises those who believe from amongst you and those who have knowledge in higher station. Because of sins, the hijab of this virtue is between the abd and ilm, because of the sins. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the first athar sayyi'ah, the first ill effect of ma'siyah, of sin, is knowledge being made haram, there being a veil in front of you, between you and ilm, between you and ilm. The second ill effect of sin is hurman al-risk. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says that the second is that provisions will be prevented, and receiving provisions will be prevented. It will be made haram for you. It's an obstacle now because of sins. Because of sins, the ill effect of it is the lack of provision. It's the lack of provision, that which is required and needed by the abd. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in the Musnad, "Inna al-abd la yuhramu rizqa bi dhanbin yusiba." He mentions a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed where he said that the slave will make will have his provisions made haram for him. His provisions will be prevented to receive provisions because of a sin that he committed. Because of a sin that he committed. How many times are we finding it difficult to pay the bills? How many times are we finding it difficult to find a halal job? How many times are we finding it difficult to have clothes to keep us warm in the winter? How many times are we have difficulty in attaining or getting provision? From the ill effects of sins is the prevention of getting provisions. So alayna bi tawbah. So upon us is istighfar, as is the advice of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala. The third ill effect of sins is al-wahshatun yajiduha al-asi fi al-qalbihi baynahu wa bayna Allah. Is the distance, the lack of serenity that the slave will find between him and his Lord. The lack of tranquility. Why? Because of his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala he mentions is al-wahshatu allati tahsul baynahu wa bayna an-nas. Is the distance, the lack of serenity, the lack of harmony, the lack of tranquility that the individual will find between him and the rest of mankind, specifically the people of deen, specifically the people of taqwa, specifically the people who practice the deen of al-Islam. He finds the lack of tranquility and harmony between him and the people. Why? Because of sins. Because of sins. And so much so, some of the Salaf, they used to say, إِنِّي لَأَعْصِي اللَّهِ فَأَرَى ذَلِكَ فِي خُلُقِ دَابَتِي وَزَوْجَتِي. Some of the Salaf, they said that I will disobey Allah and I will see the effects of that disobedience. I will see the effects of that disobedience on my beast, on my riding beast, and my wife, yani my woman, imraati, my woman. So husbands, if you find your wife disobedient, ask yourself why. من وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك اخوان الا نفسه. Whoever finds good, then praise Allah, and if you find other than that, don't blame anyone but yourself. So the Salaf used to say that they used to see the effects of their disobedience on their riding beasts. It's not functioning properly. on their woman, their wife. She's not behaving properly. And some of the some a narration on some of the Salaf, they said, La'a'si'illah, that when I disobey Allah, I see the effects on my servant. I see the effects on my servant. I tell them to do this, they disobey. They show ill feelings towards me. Straight away the individual will be, this is a bad employee. But rather, the first thing that one needs to do is check himself. Because from the ill effects of sins is the lack of harmony, tranquility, raha between the slave, the one that's sinning, and the people and the creation. Ibn Qayyim mentions the fifth one. And he says that the fifth ill effect of, and I'm going to ask you about these ill effects at the end, inshallah. The fifth ill effects of sin is ta'siru umurihi alayh. Is that his affairs become difficult for him. His affair becomes hard. His affairs become difficult. They're not easy. He's finding it difficult. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ فِي أَمْرِهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فِي أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, that whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever fears Allah, whoever reveres Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make his affairs easy. So the mafhum mukhalafa is what, ikhwan? The mafhum mukhalafa, the inverse meaning, is that the one that does not fear Allah, the one that does not have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his affairs will become what, ikhwan? Difficult. His affair will become what? Difficult. Inna Allah ma'al muttaqin. Verily Allah is with the muttaqin. Verily Allah is with those who have taqwa. Those who fear Allah. Obey Allah. Run away from his disobedience. Allah is with them. Allah is with them, akhi. The muttaqun. And this ma'iyah. And this ma'iyah. Allah being with them. Is ma'iyah to khas. It's a specific type of Allah being with an individual. And that is aiding them. Supporting them. Giving them victory. Is this for everyone, ikhwan? It's for the who? Muttaqoon. It's for those who have taqwa. Those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't disobey him. And Allah will make his affair easy. So from the ill effects of sins, is an individual's affairs becoming difficult. Sometimes you find dayiq. Your chest is squeezing up. Things are going hard. And you're striving to correct it. But it's getting harder. Do istighfar, ikhwan. Turn to Allah. Tubu ila Allah. Tawbatan. Nasuha. Repent to Allah. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With a sincere repentance. Because man wajida khayran. Falyahmadillah. So whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah. Thank Allah. Be grateful to Allah. And whoever finds other than that, then don't blame anyone but yourself. Seek istighfar foremost. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sins that you know or that you don't know you have committed. The sixth ill effect of sins is an al-aasi tuhinu al-qalb wal-badan. Ibn Qayyim rahimahu ta'ala, he said that the sins weaken the heart and weaken the limbs. By sinning, it makes your body lethargic, weak, unable to operate effectively. It makes your heart weak, unable to operate effectively. And in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna fi jasadi mudgha, idha saluhat saluha jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasada jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al-qalb." With the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, he said that verily there is a flesh in the body. If it is correct, then the whole body is correct. If it is corrupted, then the whole body is corrupted. And that is what, ikhwan? The heart. And when is it corrupted? There isn't a thing that corrupts the heart more so than the disobedience of Ar-Rahman. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinak wa fi riwaya ala ta'atik. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say this dua frequently. O fluctuator of the hearts, Allah, make our hearts firm on your deen, on your religion, and in another narration, in your obedience. So therefore it's understood from this hadith that with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart will what? Fluctuate and become weak. And once the heart becomes weak, the whole body is finished. Even if you're an athlete, even if you can run like the Kenyans run, if your heart is corrupted, your body is finished. Ibn Qayyim rahimahu ta'ala, He says, وَأَمَّا وَهْنُ لِلْبَدْنِ فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ قُوَّتُهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. As for the weakness of the limbs, as it relates to the believer, he says, as it relates to the believer, his strength lies in his heart. His strength lies in his heart. He protects his heart from entering disobedience in there. He prevents his heart from entering shirk. Saghiruhu wa kabiruhu. He prevents his heart, protects his heart from any type of association in partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in entering his heart. Whether it be riyah, showing off, doing deeds so people can say that you are muttaqi. Doing deeds so people can say that you are a scholar. Doing deeds so people can say that you are generous. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts any of the deeds from the muttaqoon. And the ulama have explained that the muttaqoon are the mukhlisoon, those who do their actions sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the believer, his quwwa, his strength is in his heart. Huh? And he doesn't corrupt his heart where his quwwa is with riyah, with showing off, with shirk, associating partners with Allah. He doesn't corrupt his heart by listening to the people of innovation, because it's a sin to do that. It's haram. He doesn't leave his heart open to desires that lead to the disobedience of Ar-Rahman. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ قُوَّتُهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. As for the believer, that's where his strength is. Not just going to the gym. His strength is in his heart. أَتَّقْوَ هَاهُنَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتَّقْوَ هَاهُنَا. He said, piety and righteousness is here. And then he pointed to his chest, to his blessed chest, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's where the taqwa is. Protect it, ikhwan. At-taqwa hahuna. Ibn Qayyim says, wa kullama qawiya qalbuhu qawiya badunuhu. And every time that his heart is strengthening, his body is what? Strengthening. وَأَمَّا الْفَاجِرِ. But as for the criminal, mujrim, sinner, disbeliever in Allah, disobedient one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا الْفَاجِرِ فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَوِيَ الْبَدَنِ فَهُوَ أَدْعَفُ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ. He said, listen carefully, he said, Ibn Qayyim, as for the fajir, as for the criminal, the disobey of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as for this individual, even if he seems like he has a strong body, it's as weak as can be. It's as weak as can be when it's needed. How many people find it difficult to do 4 rak'at? They will box in the ring. They will do UFC. Was it UFC? They will do UFC. They will wrestle. They will box for 15 rounds. But to stand up and do ruku' to Allah, for Allah, to do sujood for Allah, moving your limbs, your body, they are unable to do this. Why, ikhwan? Because what is corrupted? Huh? The heart. And we've heard many stories. I can't pray. It's too difficult. But you'd run a mile. Why? Because the reality is you don't have a strong body, even if your body's lying to you by exerting all these efforts. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that as for the fajr, that even if his body seems strong, in reality it's as weak as can be when it's needed. And when it's needed is for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's needed is for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From number 7, ikhwan, from the ill effects of sin is hurmanu ta'a. From the ill effects of sin is have been prevented in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been prevention of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's been a hijab of your sins between you and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّذِينَ اَهْتَدَوْ زِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who obey and follow the guidance, we increase them in guidance. So those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they increased in guidance, ikhwan? Kalla. So from the ill effects of sins is the lack of ta'a, the lack of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رب السماوات والأرض خالق كل شيء. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything. You disobey him? Why? Because of your sins. Because of your sins. And Ibn Qayyim deals with this more in detail later. From the ill effects, number 8 of sins is that one's life or lifespan shortens. From the ill effects of sins, as some of the ulama have mentioned, is that one's lifespan shortens. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَإِنَّ بِرَّ كَمَا يَزِيدُ فِي الْعُمَرِ الْفُجُورُ يَقْصُرُ فِي الْعُمَرِ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, just like righteousness increases one's lifespan, yani in the obedience of Allah, disobedience and sins and criminal acts shortens the life. Ill effect of sin. And some people have said that what is meant by here, some of the ulama have said, Nuqsanul umr al-asi huwa dhahabu baraka fi umrihi. Some of the ulama have said that the shortening of an individual's lifespan, what is intended here, is that he has no barakah in his life. Ya ikhwan. He has no barakah in his life. وَهَذَا حَقٌّ. And this is the reality and this is the truth, says Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. And he says, وَهُوَ بَعْدُ تَأْثِيرُ الْمَعَاسِي. And this is the effects of the ma'asi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people who disobeying, أَمْوَاتٌ غَيْرُ أَحْيَاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those who worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who don't obey Ar-Rahman, he said they are dead, not alive. Why? Because of their what? Ma'asiyah. And what's dead, ikhwan? What's dead, ikhwan? The heart, ikhwan. The heart is dead. They're dead. Like headless chickens. Have you seen a headless chicken, ikhwan? A headless chicken, you chop his head off, it runs about for about a few minutes. And it doesn't know where it's going. It bumps into everything. It doesn't know the path of where it should be going. This is how amwat ghayr ahya. You're dead, not alive. Your heart is dead. It's not alive. Why? Because of ma'asiyah. Because of sins. Ibn Qayyim then, rahimahullah ta'ala, point number 9. The ninth ill effect that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, or that I've taken from the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, أَنَّ الْمَعَاسِي تُرْزَعُ أَمْثَالَهَا تُرْزَعُ أَمْثَالَهَا. Where he said, وَيُولَدُ أَوْ يُوَلِّدُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا وَيُوَلِّدُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. Where Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that sins breed its likes. From the ill effects of sins, that it calls to its like. It breeds more. And it gives birth to more of its like. They give birth to each other. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this in another statement, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, and this is in his book, Fawaid, he mentions rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, As-sayyi'a tad'u إلى أختها ملش الحسنة تدعو إلى أختها والسيئة تدعو إلى أختها. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that a good deed calls to its sister, yani it's like, come and join me, come and join me, so then there's more good deeds. And a bad deed, an evil deed, calls to its sister, calls to it, the one that's like it, come and join me. So there becomes twofold disobedience. And this is an ill effect of sins. as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. And then he says, inna min uqubati sayyi'a as-sayyi'ata ba'daha. From the punishments of a sin, from the punishments of sins, is sins again after it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given the remedy for this, ikhwan. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, where he said, ittaqillah haythu ma kunt wa atbi' sayyi'a hasana tamhuha. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah. This is the remedy, ikhwan. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are, wherever you may be, and follow a bad deed with a good deed, for verily it will wipe it away. And treat the people with good character and good etiquette. So that's the ilaj. Tawbah. And the first, foremost good action that one needs to do when they have committed a sin is tawbah. And in this hadith, as the ulama have explained, that the good deed can be like charity, giving sadaqah, praying sunnah prayers, a smile at your brother, reading, seeking ilm. But the sin that is wiped out here are the saghair. Al-qawl al-rajih. The correct opinion is that the sin that is wiped out that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in his hadith are the minor sins. As for the great sins, then you have to make tawbah. You have to seek forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to seek forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the ill effects, ikhwan, of sins, is that it calls to another. It says another one to join it. And from the ilaj, we've mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Point number 10. The 10th ill effect that I'm going to take from Ibn Qayyim's kalam, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, from the ill effects of sins, أَنَّ كُلَّ مَعْصِيَةٍ مِنَ الْعَاصِي فَهِيَ مِيرَاثٌ أَنْ أُمَّةٍ مِنَ الْأُمِّ الَّتِي أَهْلَكَهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, that every sin that a sinner does, every sin that a sinner falls into, then it is inherited from the nations from before that Allah destroyed. It is inherited from the ummah before that Allah destroyed because of their disobedience. So, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Al-Lutiyya, and you all know what that means. Huh? They're inherited from who? Qawm al-Lut, the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. And al-uluf al-ard, and being arrogant. The sin of being arrogant. And what's the definition of arrogance? Huh? What's the definition of arrogance? And that is what? Looking down on a people. Huh? And ghamt al-haq. And rejecting the truth. The definition of arrogance is looking down on people and rejecting the haq. Those people that fall into this type of arrogance, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Mirathun an qawmi fir'aun, that they have inherited it from the people of Fir'aun. They did not inherit it from the Anbiya. They did not inherit it from the prophets. Alayhim salatu wasalam. They inherited it from them. And likewise, Qawm Hud, the people who have arrogance and rejecting the truth, have inherited it from the people of Hud, who Allah destroyed. فَالْعَاسِ لَابَسْ. لا فالعاصي لابس ثياب بعض هذه الأمم وهم أعداء الله. And Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى, he said that the sinner is wearing the clothing of those before from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when an individual is disobeying Allah, know that there have been disobedient people before you. When you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have that urge to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that there are people before you that disobeyed. Siru fil ard. Fanzuru ish. Look through the earth and see the aqibah and see the end of those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's call and commands and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you feel like disobeying Allah and you have the urge, know that this has been inherited. This has been inherited from people before. And read the qisas in the Quran. And read the stories in the Quran. And see the ends of these individuals and what happened to them. And when you want to have or do and perform the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about those who did that in the past. From the Anbiya, from the messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam, the prophets, from the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at them and look what the result of their actions were. And this should put things into perspective. That when you disobey, or when you have the urge to disobey Ar-Rahman, look to the results and the end of those who disobeyed him before you. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the ill effect, or one of the ill effects of sins, is that it is an inheritance from those who were before that disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they deserved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they deserved. Then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions many different ill effects of sins, but I don't want to prolong you. I'm going to mention just a couple more. From those ill effects, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْعَاسِي تُفْسِدُ الْعَقْلِ. He said that the sinner, his aql, his intellect becomes corrupted. From the ill effects of sins is that the intellect of the individual becomes what? Corrupted. وَقَالَ بَعْدَ السَّلَفِ مَا أَصَلَّ اللَّهَ أَحَدٌ حَتَّى يَغِيبَ أَقْلَهُ. Nobody disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody disobeys Ar-Rahman. Except that his brain, it becomes negligent. It becomes weak. And absent. His intellect becomes what? Absent. So that is the ill effect of sins. That the individual's intellect becomes absent. Simple statement. Who created you? Ikhwan. Who deserves to be worshipped alone? Who is the one that gives you Jannah? Who is the one that protects you from the hellfire? So why are you disobeying him? Does that make sense? So the individual, when he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his intellect is corrupted, messed up. Not thinking straight. So that's from the ill effects of sins, Ikhwan. That's from the ill effects of sins. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions the 12th ill effect of sins. He mentions the 12th ill effect of sin. And he said that the ill effects of sin is that the individual continues and multiplies his sins, He continues sinning until his heart becomes black. Until his heart becomes what? Black. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ran ala qulubihim. Ran on their hearts. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith explaining this verse, when an individual commits a sin, on his heart is a nuqtatu sawda. On his heart, it's a black dot. If he makes tawbah, the black dot goes away. If he continues sinning, the black dot increases, and it increases until ran occurs. Until his heart becomes black. Until he's not living the life of clarity. He's not able to distinguish between haqq and batil. He's not able to distinguish between the truth and falsehood. He's not able to distinguish between obedience and disobedience. He's not able to the extent it can reach to the extent. He's not able to distinguish between tawheed and shirk. And that's why we ask ourselves, why did that person, he was once Salafi, and now he's Hizbi. He used to defend the Sunnah. He used to say, Tuba li ghuraba, glad tidings to the strange ones. And now he speaks ill of the strange ones. He speaks ill of the people of the Sunnah. Why? Because he has no clarity. Because of a sin that he has committed. Because of a sin that he has committed. And he has drowned himself in that disobedience. Until his heart becomes black. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, O you who believe. Talking to the people of Iman. O you who believe. If you have taqwa of Allah, if you fear Allah, obey Allah, have reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you clarity. Allah will give you clarity. Al-Alama Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayh, he said that from the fruits of taqwa, from the fruits of piety, righteousness, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the criterion and show you the path from righteousness and disobedience. He will show you the path from truth and falsehood. He will show you the path from obedience and disobedience, from sunnah wa bid'ah. Allah will show you. In tattaqullah. That's the condition. If you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will show you clarity. If there is a fitna, ikhwan. If there is a fitna, a trial, and you're confused, make tawbah. Because you haven't been given furqan. You haven't been given clarity. If you're saying this person, I don't know if it's Hizbi or I'm not confused. Shall I listen to him or shall I not listen to him? I don't know what to do. Return to Allah and make tawbah. Because possibly it's a sin that you have committed that Allah did not give you furqana. It's from your lack of taqwa that Allah has not made the path clear. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. This is my straight path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Follow it. And don't follow other paths. Simple. But you haven't been given the furqan. You haven't been given the criteria and the clarity. Why? Because you have not fulfilled the condition of having taqwa. So turn back to Allah. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Refrain from disobedience. Refrain from disobedience. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لَكَ تَرَكْتُمْ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّ بَعْدِ أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in the hadith of Abi Hurairah, narrated from Abi Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I have left for you two things. If you hold firm to it, you will not be led, or you won't be astray ever. And that is the book of Allah and the sunnah. And in the book of Allah and in the sunnah is obedience, and the command of obedience of Ar-Rahman is the command of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, and obeyed the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala said, is mentioned over 50 times. It's mentioned over 50 times. And it being mentioned so often leads to its importance. So in the book of Allah, that if we hold firm to, and the sunnah of Mustafa, in it is total obedience to Allah. In your aqeedah, in your methodology that you take, in your interaction with people, in your interactions with your parents, in your interactions with your children, in your interactions with your brother, in the issues of love and hate for the sake of Allah. All of it's in the book and the sunnah. If you hold firm to it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will not be guided. You'll be given furqan. And taqwa is mentioned in the Quran. In many more than one verse. More than 10 verses. Many places in the Quran. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have taqwa. وَمَنْ يُتْعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will be what? Receive great what? Success. Obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So, from the ill effects of sins is that the heart becomes what? Full of ran, becomes black because of the plentiness, the abundancy of sins, that the heart becomes black and there's no furqan. There's no furqan between haqq and batil. So much so that some of the salaf, if they didn't understand an issue of fiqh and they didn't know which was the qawl al-rajih and which was the qawl al-marjuh, which is the correct opinion, which is the incorrect opinion, if they're finding it, they seek tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they have not been given what? Furqan in that issue. They have not been given clarity in that issue. And that's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions the beauty of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That dua, that amazing dua of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the straight path. He mentions the different types of hidayah that we have to ask for. First of all, we have to ask the hidayah to be on the straight path. And once you're on the straight path, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, you have to ask Allah for guidance to stay on the straight path. And if you're ignorant, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance to have knowledge. If you don't understand an issue, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance to understand that issue. And you will not receive this guidance except by having taqwa. In tattaqullah yaj'al lakum ish furqana. If you have taqwa of Allah, then you will have clarity and you're able to distinguish between that which is correct and that which is incorrect. And if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ran, the nukta to soda will enter into the heart. If there is no tawbah and there is no istighfar and there is no good deeds wiping that, it becomes a ran, it becomes black, where you do not see the haq as the haq, and you do not see the batil as batil. As some of the salaf used to say, that the worst type of deviance is what? That which you used to hold to be the truth becomes what? Falsehood. And that which you used to hold to be falsehood becomes what? Truth. Deviated. And it starts off with the adam of taqwa, with the lack of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, ikhwan, he mentions a lot of things, but from the ill effects of sins is that the person has been preventing from receiving the da'wah and the du'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's been prevented from receiving or being one of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the malaika have been given or making du'a. And Ibn Qayyim says that the malaika, as is mentioned in more than one verse in the Quran, because of time, the malaika and the messengers, they make du'a for the who? For the mu'mineen, number one. They make du'a for the mu'mineen, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within that are those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because part of iman is what, ikhwan? Actions. Action, ish? Iqtiqadu ish? Fil qalb? Speech and amal bil arkan. Some of the salaf say amal bil arkan, amal bil jawarih. That iman is belief in the heart, statement of the tongue, and the actions of what? The limbs. This is iman. And part of the actions of the limbs is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the malaika yastaghfirun lilladhina amanu. And the angels that make dua, and the messengers that make dua for the ones that believe. The ones who believe with their heart, tongue, and limbs. And part of that is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that they have been prevented from receiving this virtue. Imagine that, ikhwan. By a sin, for this dunya, you're doing something in this dunya, and you are making it hurman for you to receive the dua of the malaika la yusoon Allah ma amaruhum wa yafaluna ma yu'marun. The malaika that do not disobey Allah when Allah has told them what to do, they do that which they have been commanded to do. By the obedient ones, the malaika and the best of creation, the anbiya, you have now put yourself in a state of being prevented from receiving their supplication, ikhwan. Ibn Qayyim says that's the ill effect of sins. He mentions a lot, ikhwan, and I don't want to speak for more than an hour, and I've done that. He mentions a lot, ikhwan, and the reason why we're mentioning this, ikhwan, is to help ourselves to race to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the reality, and that is that we're in a struggle. An-nafsu amaratu nisu. The soul is inviting or trying to call this individual to evil. So we have to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can be from those who actualize the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has not created the mankind and jinn except for worship. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from disobeying Him, and make us be from the muttaqoon, and make us be from the pious ones, the one that He aids and He supports, and keeps us firm upon the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the correct aqidah, correct manhaj, correct etiquette. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If you try to answer questions in general, ikhwan, But some of these questions, inshallah, we try our best and answer. But a couple of them, we leave it to the scholars. And Salah Tawfiq. The first question is, how can I thank Allah and be a thankful slave? It's a good question. How can I thank Allah and be a thankful slave? Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he answers this question. He says that gratitude is of three categories. Gratitude is of three categories. The first is gratitude of the heart. Having gratitude of the heart, i.e. loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which He subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for you, and that which He has given you in provisions, and that which He has subhanahu wa ta'ala from perfect names and attributes. So having that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being grateful in your heart. He's being thankful in your heart. Having that love, the unconditional love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says the second category of gratitude is gratitude of the lisan. Is gratitude of the lisan. And that is being grateful in your tongue. Being grateful in your tongue, meaning by saying Alhamdulillah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being grateful in your tongue by commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Being grateful in your tongue by making dhikr and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doing the azkar that has been mentioned authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the night and the day, entering the toilet, leaving the toilet, entering your house, leaving your house, riding when you're on a riding beast or you're going in your car, the dua, you try and do these things, and these dua and these azkar and these supplications are a form of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your tongue. The third category of gratitude he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, is gratitude of the limbs. The gratitude of the limbs is by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I forgot to mention, but Ibn Qayyim mentions one of his works, I can't remember which book now, in one of his works, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he gives advice. And he said, as it relates to how can one prevent themselves from disobeying Allah. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's simple. All the slave needs to do is think about an action he's going to do. If it is an action in which he hopes for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes and does it. Raja'a thawabi. But if it's an act which he doesn't have that hope in rewarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does what? He leaves it. That's the way to do it. So when you're going to do something, and you are hoping for Allah to reward you, race to do it. But if you're going to do something and there's not that hope, then you know that it's not from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then leave it alone. So hopefully that answers the question, inshallah. I am finding it difficult to wake up for Fajr. What is your advice? I am finding it difficult to wake up for Fajr. I believe that's what the question is. What is your advice? What did Umar ibn Abdul Aziz say when people came to him with their problems? What was the first thing he said? Make tawbah. So the first thing that you need to do is to make tawbah. Because if you haven't been given the virtue of waking up for Fajr and praying in the Jama'ah and praying in congregation in Fajr, it's because of some shortcomings in yourself. So make istighfar. First of all, tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any sin that you may have committed, that Allah gives you the tawfiq in order to be from those who receive the great reward of praying in Fajr in the Jama'ah. As for another way, is obviously not staying too late, and that is unfortunately a habit that us youth do. And that is that we sometimes get carried away after Salatul Isha. Talking, if it's not in remembrance of Allah, I'm not talking about remembrance of Allah, I'm not talking about seeking ilm, I'm not talking about reading. I'm not talking about Salah. I'm talking about sitting down, joking, wasting time, and the hours pass away. And unfortunately, some people, just before the Adhan, I'm tired, akhi. Just before the Adhan, he says what? I'm tired, and then he sleeps, and he misses what? Fajr. So one has to look and do those things that will prevent him from missing Fajr. And it goes in accordance to what we mentioned from Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, Al-Hasana tad'u ila ukhtiha, wa sayyi'a tad'u ila ukhtiha. Yani a good deed calls for another good deed. So don't waste time, that's a good deed. And it'll call to other good deed, but you've been able to do your ibadah properly in Fajr. A bad deed calls to another bad deed. By wasting time and talking frivolous, non-beneficial kalam at night is a bad thing, and it leads to other bad things like missing Fajr. So that is an important principle for Ibn Qayyim that we need to try and implement. So inshallah ta'ala, hopefully this answers the question. How does one get rid of laziness? How does one get rid of laziness? What did Umar ibn Abdul Aziz say? Make tawbah. And we mentioned that from the ill effects of sins are what? Weakness in what? Your heart and your body. So because of the sins, wallahi ikhwan, you know when you are exerting the ibadah of Allah, you're enthusiastic in seeking ilm, you're enthusiastic in doing your salah, you're enthusiastic in praying in jama'ah. Do you feel lazy, ikhwan? Do you feel lazy? But when you're doing impermissible things, this will affect your limbs. And foremost, affect your what? Heart. And if your heart is weak, then your body has no chance. If your heart is weak, then your body has no chance. So the advice that I advise myself and the questioner is, in order to fight laziness, is to purify your heart with the remembrance of Allah, with tawheed, and with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and staying away from sins and disobedience. What do you advise us in order to increase brotherhood between us? How do I love my brother for the sake of Allah, as some of them I do not get along with? First of all, hadu tahabu. A good way for you to increase in the love between you and your brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afshu salam." To increase in sending salams to your brother and spreading the salam, salamu alaikum, because it's a dua. Sometimes we say it like it's hello, it's not like hello, it's a dua. It's a dua for your brother that hopefully will soften your brother's heart upon hearing this, and this dua that you're doing for your brother, and he gives that dua back to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also mentioned to give gifts. He said, give gifts and you increase in love amongst you. But before all of this, ikhwan, what we're talking about is love amongst us as Ahlul Sunnah. Love amongst us as the people of the Sunnah. We're not talking about people of innovation or people of deviance. We're talking about people of the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold firm to the rope of Allah, all of you, and do not divide. So if you're holding firm to the rope of Allah, which is the Sunnah, the rope of Allah, which is the way of the Salaf, the rope of Allah, which is the Quran and Sunnah, as is mentioned by many of the ulama of tafsir, the explanation of the rope of Allah, we hold on to this with the people of the Sunnah. This should be enough for you to love your brother. This should be enough for you to love your brother. We're not saying that you have to go out with your brother. Not every arwahun junudun mujannada. Okay? Sometimes people just don't get along. This is going to happen. But you have that muhabba, diniya, you have that love for them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reason why you love them is not because of what they are doing to you. The reason why you love them is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as they are Salafi, as long as they are upon the Sunnah, as long as they are upon the straight path, that love should not change no matter what he does to you. Badly. But obviously you can increase it. As from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him, they're mentioned from the ill effects of sitting with the people of innovation is that it causes problems between the brothers. It causes problems between the ikhwan, it causes problems between the people of the sunnah. So one of the ill effects of innovation and sitting with the people of innovation, it causes rancor between the ranks. So stay away from the people of innovation, because the people of innovation, they are ahl tafarruq. The people of innovation are people of division. They want to divide the people of the sunnah. So by sitting with them, it could affect you. By sitting with somebody who talks ill of Ahl Sunnah, by sitting with somebody who reviles the people of the Sunnah, he speaks ill about the ulama, he speaks ill about the ulama of the Sunnah, by sitting by with these people, it would affect your heart. It will affect your heart. And therefore, in return, will affect the way you are with the people of the Sunnah. So all these things that one needs to pay attention to holistically, in order to increase the love amongst Ahlul Sunnah. And as for you don't get along, it happens. And it doesn't mean that you dislike the individual, but you just don't click. You just don't click. This is natural. There's nothing you can do about it. But as for the imaniyah, muhabbat, the fact that your Muslim Salafi brother, that love has to be there. And you aid them and you defend them. You aid them because they're the people of the Sunnah. No matter which nationality they are from. Whether they are black, white, green, purple, if there is, whatever color. The most important thing is what? That they are what? Salafi. That they are upon the straight path. Kun wahidan fi wahid. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, be one in one. Liwahidin. For a one. Be one. Be one in this deen that is one. This methodology that is one. This straight path that is one. Not turuq. That is what? One. Liwahidin. For one. The one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Who's who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the deen, ikhwan. Kun wahidan fi wahidan li wahid. Or kama qal Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Naam. So inshallah ta'ala, we should, you know, make sure that we are patient with our people of the sunnah. Even if, for example, the people from Tablighi Jama'ah, the Ikhwani Muslimin, they give you, they smile at you, they treat you well, they give you perfume that you probably never like, they give you this, and they tell you that, they tell you how, mashallah, your beard is mashallah, and your Salafi brother, maybe you don't get on. Who do you love? Huh? Your Salafi brother. This Tablighi, this Ikhwani, this Sururi, Hizb Tahriri, Khurafi, Hizbi, has bad manners with Allah. He has bad manners with Allah. So it doesn't matter what he does after that. Even if he treats you well, even if he gives you gifts, as long as he has bad manners with Allah, he's not your friend. Fahimtum, ikhwan? And this is loving and hating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruts of an iman. Somebody asked a question. Are there specific etiquettes, conditions in making tawbah or istighfar? Is istighfar only for minor sins? Okay. The first question, are there specific etiquettes? There's conditions, obviously. And that is that you, the ulama have mentioned, and some of these conditions are that you have azimah, that you have the urge not to go back to that sin that you're making istighfar for, that you're sincere in that istighfar, You're serious that what you have done is wrong. You admit that it is wrong, and you have azima and the urge to not return to that sin. And they make an extra condition also, that if you have oppressed somebody else, part of your tawbah, to complete that tawbah, is for you to seek forgiveness from that person that you may have oppressed. And this brings us to a statement that we mentioned, I think, a few months ago, as it relates to Seb of Allah and Seb of Rasul. Do you remember that? What is the ruling on the person who curses Allah? He makes what? He makes tawbah, and then after that? Yustatab wa illa qutil. He makes tawbah, he repents to Allah for what he said about Allah. If he doesn't repent, then he receives capital punishment. Okay? As for the sab of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala explained, as for cursing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yustatab wa qutil. He is told to make tawbah, so he dies upon tawbah, and then he receives capital punishment. Why? Because he's cursing who? And whose right is it? And he needs to seek forgiveness from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can he? No. So for that reason, the ruling is different. Mashi? So that's the last, that's the fourth condition or pillar of making tawbah. If somebody mocks the messenger, in this country, do we kill him? No.
Exactly. So who implements this?
The one that implements it in this country?
Wherever.
In this country, you cannot implement it. Because you're not... if somebody curses the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's for the ruler to... he's going to be taken to court. Yeah. You know, and it's not from the general... it's not for the general people to do it. And that's a good point, Salah. Which shows you that this is not our duty. These issues of rulership is not our duty. It's the duty of the ruler, and we don't have that here, so we cannot implement it as such. But in the Muslim countries, if such incidents happens when an individual curses the messenger, he is reported to the authorities, and then the qadi, the judge, will deal with his issue. Now, why are the Salafis not concerned about politics? Why are the Salafis not concerned about politics? What do you mean by politics? If you mean, as is mentioned in the Arabic language, as hikmah and wisdom, then the Salafis are concerned about that. But the question that we pose to you is, why were you created? Were you created for politics? Were you created for politics? Or were you created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Were you created? And it's upon you that the rule of Allah is established in this earth? Is that upon you? Or is it a reward? Huh? Is it upon you that the rule of Allah is established on the earth, or is it a reward? Huh? Allah doesn't change the state of a people until they change what? Themselves. So by establishing the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah, they are upon the da'wah of the prophets. None of the prophets called to politics. None of the messengers called to politics. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةِ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. I haven't sent a messenger, a nation and a messenger, except that they called their people to worship Allah alone and stay away from Taghut. They didn't call for politics. They didn't call to politics. They called to Tawheed. They called to Tawheed. So this is why the Salafis don't put politics in that station that the people of Ahwa and the desires do. Because that's not our responsibility. Our primary responsibility is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He has commanded us to worship Him. And if we establish this and we follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will reward us with that rule. It reminds me of a statement of in the khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When an individual came to him, one of the companions came to him. Was it the companions? One of the companions, the tabi'in came to him. One of the tabi'i that came to him. One of the tabi'i that came to him and said that the rule, your rule, is not like the rule of Uthman. Why is your rule not as good as the rule of Uthman? And Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, that is because when Uthman was ruling, he was ruling people like me. And when I'm ruling people like you. So you deserve what you get. So the asl is that you establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for beating yourself with politics, this is a diversion by the Ikhwani Muslimin and the Khawarij, primarily Sayyid ibn Qutb, this deviant who promotes this hakimiyya and this holding politics to the level of taking people out of Islam and the rulers out of Islam and the permissibility of going against the rulers following the methodology of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. This is the path that they take. So the people of the Sunnah, we follow that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has established and that which the Anbiya were upon alayhim salam. Now, there's an announcement that there's going to be a red bucket outside for donations going to Masjid Al-Athari in East London. And I've known the brothers there in East London since 2000. And mashallah, tabarakallah, they have been upon the sunnah from when I've known them. They have been upon the sunnah from when I've known them. In their lessons where Allah musta'an, they've rented a hall for the past 10 years or so. They have taught, or brothers have gone there and finished Kitab al-Tawheed. Brothers have gone there and finished Usul al-Thalatha twice. Brothers have gone there and finished Usul al-Sitta twice, or three times. Qawaid Arba a few times. Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. The brothers there have been trying hard to establish a masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the energy now to try and push for it more. And they need aid from our brothers here in West London. And if inshallah ta'ala you can aid our brothers there in East London by giving what you can in order to help establish a masjid in East London, because they don't have one. And East London has a large popularity, a majority of Muslims. And Ahlul Sunnah are plenty there, but they need a place where they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the masajid, or the places of worship, are for Allah. Do not associate partners with Allah or call or invoke other than Allah in them. So they want to establish Tawheed in this place and establish the Sunnah. So aid them as much as you can. Isn't the establishment of Sharia our wajib, as it isn't? No, it is not. Our wajib is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And as for you, the questioner, your job is to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it an aspect of Tawheed? It's from the perfection of Tawheed. Just like your salah is from the perfection of Tawheed. And just like being a parent is your perfection of Tawheed. And just like being a son is your perfection of Tawheed. Not everyone is a parent. And not everyone has a parents alive. But everyone is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every individual, the wajib, the main Tawheed is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As for establishing the Sharia, that's from the perfection of Tawheed. Like Salah is from the perfection of Tawheed, and like doing good deeds are the perfection of Tawheed. And it is not your responsibility, brother or sister, to establish the Sharia. Your responsibility is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that you have not been created except to worship Allah alone. Alone. As for the rules, that is for the rulers. And if anyone wishes to advise the rulers, then it's better that you get a ticket. Okay? Go to the travel agent, get a ticket, and go and visit them and advise them according to the sunnah, and that is in secret. But as for this public behavior that these individuals, the suruis and the takfiris, they do, is causing anarchy, and it's not from the way of the salaf. So no, it is not our wajib to establish the Sharia as what you mean. But as for establish the Sharia like worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and the legislation as in Salah and so forth, naam. But as for the rulership and so forth, it is not your duty. It is not your responsibility, and there isn't a hadith, a narration that indicates, not even indicates that. No proof. Well, Adam a Dalil. And in no proof is a proof. جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى صحبه اجمعين.